Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome into the Gig'em 24/7 Sports Podcast. I am Andrew Hattersley, joined by Carter Carls and Michael Pratt, who's here to join us to break down this game between Texas A&M and Ole Miss and look around the rest of the SEC. Mike, thanks so much for taking a few minutes to join us.
Yeah, thanks for the invite. I appreciate you. Appreciate you guys. Big fan of your work.
Yeah, thank you. Big one, obviously, this weekend in Oxford between Texas A&M and Ole Miss for so many reasons, you know. Obviously, the first one that probably jumps out to fans is the Lane Kiffin, Jimbo Fisher angle, but I feel like there's so much to this game. How do you see this game kind of matching up? Obviously, A&M's had their struggles on the road. Ole Miss had the one blemish against Alabama, but has otherwise looked pretty good. How do you see this game from a big picture perspective kind of matching up between these two programs?
Yeah, and obviously you hit on it there, the Jimbo Lane Kiffin feud, if you want to call it that. But I mean, you can't overlook DJ Durkin versus Lane Kiffin. I think not that there's necessarily as big of a feud, but I think that's an interesting matchup. Pete Golding and Jimbo Fisher have gone head to head many times, obviously at a different school, but so a lot of intriguing coaching matchups Saturday in this game in Oxford. So, you know, I honestly think, and I've been telling people think I'm crazy, but I think this is a real opportunity for Texas A&M to pull the upset. Now, I ain't never picking Jimbo to win another game after that performance against Alabama. I was made to be a fool on national television thanks to that clown Jimbo Fisher. So I am not picking A&M, but they got the talent. They got some of the pieces. And really, Ole Miss, I know Lane Kiffin gets this reputation as like a quarterback guru and all this, and they've been effective. I think Jackson Dart's had a really good year. They also, I believe they're the only FBS team with three receivers that have at least 500 receiving yards. So they do throw it around quite a bit, but the whole operation doesn't work without the ground game. And that was paramount to in their loss to Alabama, and it's why they nearly lost to Tulane. They couldn't run the football. So can A&M control that? I think they can. But which is why I'm kind of optimistic that A&M can pull the upset. Still not a big believer in Ole Miss, but I'm wrong about as often as I'm right. So I can't tell, but I think it's going to be a really good game.
Mike, when you look at A&M this season, you kind of touched on it. Jimbo has had his moments for sure, but what do you think has held this team back against Bama, Tennessee, Miami? Just sort of when you've seen the bad version of A&M, we've seen some good versions of A&M, but what's kind of been the number one thing or a few things that have held them back?
Number one that comes to my mind is the offensive line. And I'm trying to figure out what in the heck's the problem here, because we got Steve Adazio, who, I mean, I'm not saying he's like great or anything, but his reputation, you'd think he could coach up some talented offensive linemen, but apparently that's not the case. You know, Connor Wigman, I think, most of us, I don't know about y'all, but I think a lot of people underrated what a loss that was, because Max Johnson, I think you can make the case best backup in the SEC, but clearly that he's no Connor Wigman. So that's hurt. I'm sure that's going to be the offseason excuse in College Station of why Jimbo's back for another season. But I would have fired his – I don't know if I'm allowed to curse on here. I would have fired his butt last year, so I don't care about these excuses. But that hurt us. I don't understand getting why Anaya Smith last week, was that was his first receiving touchdown. I mean, I think that's a travesty. We got to get the ball in his hands a lot more. And the secondary, obviously, against Miami, I'm still having nightmares. That was another one where we all but guaranteed A&M was going to win against Miami, and we were dead wrong on that, too. So, like I said, I get a lot wrong, but there's a lot wrong with this Texas A&M football program, and I'm tired of seeing it. And I'm not even a graduate. I don't understand anyone at this point that is defending Jimbo Fisher.
When you look at this matchup, for me, they went A&M could have been more aggressive, right? And I think it was talked about a lot in the weeks afterwards in that Alabama and the Tennessee game. I think there were opportunities to maybe be a little more aggressive in those games. When you're going up against Ole Miss in a game that, you know, you're probably going to need to score points to come out with a win, is this the game you feel like A&M needs to maybe go for it on a fourth down here or there, or maybe, you know, squeeze a possession at the end of the half if they can? Is this that type of game you feel like for them?
Yeah, and you know, to Jimbo's credit, I mean, I think we saw some of that last week against South Carolina. Yeah. And we even saw that against all these games are blending together now, but I think it was Tennessee where they went for it on fourth down and Max Johnson got stepped on and he felt so. Jimbo's probably like, that's why I don't go for it on fourth down. We can't execute it. But oh God, I said the bad word. I'm sorry. So that's Jimbo Fisher's bad word there. But I mean, I think that's in part why they've not been able to beat Lane Kiffin. Now I'm not someone that thinks that you need to go for it on every fourth down, but clearly Lane Kiffin has embraced the analytics and Jimbo has went the other direction. And that's not the sole reason, but I would imagine that is in part why Lane Kiffin and his Ole Miss team have had success against Jimbo, because, you know, he's playing the odds. He's playing the percentages to where Jimbo isn't. And Jimbo's had a better roster every single time that he's lost to Lane Kiffin. So yeah, you got with your quarterback out, your starting quarterback, obviously I'm talking about, I think you got on the road, you got to go for it. You got to be aggressive. And had he done that against Alabama, they would have beat them. I'll never back down from that.
Yeah. Yeah. Mike, I wonder what you think of this defense, because statistically, it's one of the better A&M defenses the last 20, 25 years. It's a little weird, though, because they have had their moments, like you mentioned Miami, where it looked like they were playing on a skating rink or something. It just slipping around and missed tackles everywhere. Bama, Jermaine Burton, I mean, that's a game he'll tell his grandkids about one day. Tennessee was able to run the ball effectively. But then, I mean, they're doing stuff like against Auburn, it's like 7 sacks. I think Arkansas, they had 7 sacks. And they're doing things that I don't care who the competition is. You don't do that against weaker opponents. They're breaking records and things of that nature. So I'm wondering what you think of them, because against really good teams, they've struggled in some points, but overall, statistically, it's like one of the best defenses in the last 25 years for this program.
Yeah. And again, I'm not sitting here just Mr. Critical, but to me, that's coaching, is the lack of consistency. Now, yeah, when you play upper echelon teams, are you going to dominate? Probably not. But again, giving up, what was it, 40 something of Miami? I mean, that you just can't have that. And LSU will probably do something similar, unless the defensive front just completely takes over. And Ole Miss, obviously a very explosive team, so that's going to be a true test. But we just can't have it so lopsided one week after another. And point to coaching on that. With the lack of consistency week in and week out for this A&M defense, they got all the pieces. And this is why I was so high on A&M in the offseason, because of that front seven. And Edgerrin Cooper, I mean, I don't know if you guys caught it because you're at the game, but on ESPN, they were saying this guy's SEC Defensive Player of the Year. I mean, they were really touting him. So you got that kind of talent, yet it's not showing week in and week out across the board. it's a very good defense, but not elite in my opinion, because they're not stepping up against some of these games they really need them to.
When you look at Ole Miss, Carter and I were talking about this before the show, you know, beat Vanderbilt pretty handily, but struggled against Arkansas a little bit, struggled against Auburn a little bit. What do you kind of make of them? And you know, is this kind of a proven game for them as well?
Yeah, I think it's fair to say that. Now they've had a lot of guys banged up, particularly at receiver, and their tight end Priest Korn, who I'm trying to think of what game he came back. I think it was the Alabama game was his first game. And that's something Lane Kiffin has really utilized. They didn't have it last year, but every other year he's had a tight end that like Kenny Yeboah is another one. I think they had a kid named Kelly a while ago, but having a really good tight end, it just opens up so much in Lane Kiffin's offense. And I think that we have seen that with Priest Korn, who was a transfer from Memphis, come in, and they were hoping to get that out of the kid that they just booted from the team from Southern Cal. But with the tight end healthy, with some of these receivers like Trey Harris, he scored four touchdowns, I believe, in the opener, and he got banged up. Now he's healthy. Ole Miss is starting to come along, and it goes back to what I was saying earlier. If they can run the ball, I think they can beat anybody. I mean, I think they can beat Georgia. I really do, because I don't think Georgia is Georgia of the last couple of years. Now, so, you know, just keep that on your radar. If they can run on Georgia, I think there's not a better running back in the country than Judkins. So, but he's another one. He's been banged up, but now he looks healthy. The offensive line struggled again. Like I said, against Tulane, they had no push, and that was a huge red flag to me, because Vanderbilt recruits better than Tulane. I know Tulane's a good program and all that, but they're not SEC caliber. They couldn't run the ball a lick against Alabama, and they were just totally ineffective. So again, if A&M can hold their own, if that front seven can be elite like we have seen them, they can win this football game. But if they let Judkins have their way, they're going to get blown out on Saturday.
Mike, we mentioned it at the top of the show, the Lane versus Jimbo feud. It honestly, like, I have no dog in the fight. I think it's hilarious. Like, I'm entertained by it. I also think Lane, I'm sometimes like, bro, like, you're obsessed. Like, well, what is going on here? You're every other word is Jimbo out of your mouth. I wonder, how do you take it as far as, like, is it really that serious? Is he just kind of trolling? And then also, is it like, does there come to a point where it's like, dude, you're talking about this guy way too much. Maybe chill out a little bit.
No, I wish he'd do it more, to be honest with you, because that's I'm just in this for entertainment value. You know what I mean? I mean, I'm kind of like the Lane Kiffin of SEC podcast, so I don't mind it in the least, but I can understand why A&M fans not like it, and I certainly think he cost his team against Alabama. So I think sometimes he runs his mouth too much, because what he was saying about Kevin Steele, I don't know if you guys are aware of this, but that was a planted question, and he got some insight into the inner workings there at Alabama. Apparently Kevin Steele threatened to quit that week because they took away some of his duties. So he knew exactly what he was doing, but I think that sparked a fire under Alabama. And at some point, if Jimbo's got any pride, maybe that'll spark something in him. Because, you know, I'm not an X's and O's guy. I can't break it down like some of these analysts. But I hear a lot of people say that A&M brings out a different game plan for Alabama every year. And now, maybe that's because Jimbo knows Saban's defense so well. But, hell, if he knows Saban's defense, he should know Pete Golding's defense. And maybe we see some of that this week, because A&M is clearly, you know, they don't beat Alabama that often, but they hold their own annually against Alabama. So, you know, at some point, this has got to catch up to Lane Kiffin, but I appreciate every comment he gives me, because it's just material for me to run with. And like I said, I'm a lot like Lane in that aspect. I say a lot of things I probably shouldn't say.
Makes it entertaining, though, right? No doubt. As you mentioned, 3 one-score games in a row against Alabama the last 3 years. We're going to take a quick break and be right back with more from Mike. So stay tuned after a quick break.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Introducing the two-way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the two-way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the two-way for yourself at newbalance.com.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, The Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Welcome back into the Gig'em 24/7 Sports Podcast. I am Andrew Hattersley, joined by Carter Carls and SEC Mike, Michael Bratton. Wanted to ask you about Max Johnson, because obviously we talked a lot about Connor Wegman in the opening half of the show. And, you know, Max Johnson coming off a good game against South Carolina. But what have you made of his play to this point?
Well, I think he's tough as nails. I mean, I think that goes without saying. I mean, he's getting obliterated, it seems like, week in and week out. They got to do a better job of protecting him. And, I mean, I don't have to tell you guys, but it seems like every year Texas A&M's quarterbacks get lost for the majority of the season due to injury. So, I mean, the offensive line, the protection, whatever the issue is, something's got to get fixed, because I mean, he may not make it through the season. I think he will, because, like I said, he's incredibly tough. But, man, I've never seen a quarterback throwing, falling down so much as Max Johnson. But clearly he's a little limited in arm strength. But and it doesn't always look pretty when he does it, but it's effective. And that's going back to his days at LSU, where he won some big-time games, including over a Florida team that was marching its way to the college football playoff. He got that one. I believe he outdueled Matt Corral. That was a 10-win Ole Miss team that Matt Corral obviously went on to get drafted in the NFL. So, I mean, he's a great – not great's too strong a word, but he's a very good quarterback, but I don't know how much help he's getting, and I think he would look even better behind a competent offensive line.
Mike, you look at the rest of the schedule for A&M. You got Ole Miss, the Mississippi State comes to town, then Abilene Christian, then in Baton Rouge, where A&M hasn't won yet since joining the SEC. Can they turn it around? What does turning it around look like for this team? And do you think winning these last – I mean, and when you include South Carolina, winning the last five games – does that give you confidence going into next season in Jimbo Fisher?
No, I think the way to turn it around is to fire Jimbo Fisher. But I don't know who you give it to, because I don't think you can make Durkin the interim. I certainly would not let Bobby Petrino have too much power, because Lord knows what will happen there. But, I mean, I'm kind of kidding, but not really. I got no faith in them. When's the last time they won a road game, a true road game? So they're going to beat Ole Miss, who's in the top 10, and LSU, which is, if they win this weekend, I guess, which they may not. But if they do, they're going to be in the top 10. We're looking at 7-5. And again, that's fine for, I don't even think it's fine for Kentucky, but apparently they're happy with 7-5. But this is Texas A&M, and we've got all these great players. We got these great fans, an elite home field advantage, and we're in year six, and we're sitting here saying, all right, 7-5. That's, sadly, that is an improvement over last year. So,
yeah.
No, I mean, I hate to be Debbie Downer, but I have no faith that Jimbo is going to do anything of consequence. And oh yeah, it's just getting tougher because Texas and Oklahoma are coming in. So no, until they make a coaching change, I don't see much of a bright future in College Station.
Yeah, 2021 at Missouri, that was their last road win, which is just crazy to think about. What do you think? Just on that, what do you think has held them back on the road? Because we asked Jimbo this week about, you know, travel schedule and things like that, them traveling on Thursdays. And he said that's the best thing they do because obviously then you don't have to take kids out of class and all that. What do you think when you look at just what they've done, what do you think has held them back?
Yeah, I mean, that's a tough question. I've not really thought about it. I mean, if they get that Arkansas game to be home and home, they're right there. Yeah. It's an easy away win every other year. Not winning in Starkville, Mississippi. I mean, that's awful. But there's a long line of awful things. I mean, Neyland Stadium is no joke. So that's a tough one. I'm trying to think, who did they catch out of the East last year?
They caught South Carolina in that game that was just that place was just rocking when.
Right, and that opening kickoff touchdown, right? So
yeah.
But again, that's an awful loss. I mean, South Carolina. I know they caught fire at the end, but they're not any good either. So, yeah. I mean that's a very good question. But again, I put it on Jimbo. I mean this is inexcusable. Losing to South Carolina, losing to Tennessee, I think is excusable. But again, would they allow 230-something yard rushings?
220, yeah.
That's not excusable, I don't think. Not with, heck, I'm a Tennessee grad, but Joe Milton is, I mean, you don't even have to respect him to throw the ball, really. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I put it on the coaching. I really do.
Crazy stat for you, Mike. 2016 was the last time a Jimbo coach team beat a ranked team on the road. 2016.
We got to get rid of Ross Bjork too. What was that man thinking? Let him go to LSU. That would have done you guys a favor.
Yeah. No comment. I'm just going to next question. That one.
Yeah. Good one.
But what I'll ask you, because this is sort of where A&M's fan base is at. I'm going to put words in their mouth here, but there's two schools of thought. There's kind of your thought of like, you got to get rid of this guy. $77 million. It's a sunk cost at this point. Like, you're going to pay him no matter what. Why not just rip the Band-Aid off? Then there's the other side that's saying, this is the most talented A&M roster ever. If you fire that guy, so many of those guys are going to leave at a time where Texas and OU are joining the SEC. You got the 12-team playoff next year. A&M doesn't play Bama or Georgia next year. And their three biggest games, Notre Dame, LSU and Texas are all at home. So if you just gave them one more chance, maybe they could figure it out and build for something. But it's more kind of a worry of, oh my gosh, I don't want to lose Evan Stewart and all these guys. And then all of a sudden Texas is coming to town and beating you again. So where do you kind of lay on that? There's also the worry about who do you hire, and you're paying $77 million for a guy. Can you afford a good coach?
Yeah.
Well, it's tough. Yeah.
It's not an easy solution, no doubt. But basically what they've got is they've got a shotgun wound to the chest, and the solution is not to put a Band-Aid on it. You know what I mean? You have got to do major reconstructive surgery to keep this patient alive here. And yeah, I get it. I mean, there's going to be transition players. Maybe we'll leave, but I mean, there's guys like Josh Heupel out there who hopefully this wouldn't happen at A&M, but about 30 players jumped into the portal. And Tennessee, because they hired the right coach, got better immediately. And then in year two, they just took it to another level. I don't think, now I could be wrong. I'm not trying to totally discredit Jimbo because he is a very good recruiter, but I think Texas A&M recruits itself. And, you know, let's not hide from NIL. I mean, the NIL is not going anywhere. It's not leaving with Jimbo. So, I get it. It would be potentially a rough transition, but you're basically just punting till the next rough transition. It's going to happen one way or another. And we have just seen enough to where this guy is, he's not capable of delivering results. So yeah, let's wait till next year. And then when they go 6-6, then fire him. I mean, if that's what they really want. But I think you could hire a number of coaches and they'll get you to 7 or 8 wins next season, even if the schedule is difficult, because anybody you're going to lose, you're just as likely to add players via, we've seen Brian Kelly come in and remake his roster overnight, and they won the SEC championship in the West. There's plenty. Lincoln Riley at Southern Cal. I mean, Deion Sanders, you know, just follow that blueprint and hopefully you don't have to go the Deion route and replace 80 scholarship guys. I certainly don't think that would happen, but I think you can bring in the right coach and he'll add pieces. And I don't think it'd be near as bad a transition as some people are concerned about.
No doubt. But just the final one for me on Ole Miss and A&M, Mike, if you're looking at, obviously this A&M defense, when they've been good so far this year, it feels like it's been getting after the quarterback and pressuring. Is that what you think? Do you think you do that against Ole Miss and try to kind of come after Jackson Dart as much as possible? And is that the strategy? You're obviously taking some risks, but is that kind of the strategy you feel like A&M has to take in this game to win?
Yeah, because I almost feel like Ole Miss and all these weapons that they have that are now healthy, they should be at a major advantage over A&M's secondary. So yeah. I don't think you can just sit back and give them all the time in the world. And I would anticipate that given Texas A&M's front, that Lane Kiffin is probably going to, you know, kind of do the reverse and set up the pass to set up the run. If that makes sense. So, I think you have to come after him. I really do.
Mike, last one from me. I watched you on Feinbaum in July. I think, SEC Media Days. I was in full agreement with you about Bama. I was like, yeah, I don't know if this is going to be a great Bama team. Coordinators aren't very good. Jalen Milroe. I was with you. And here they are, one loss. We doubted Nick Saban. Look where we are again. But LSU still got a chance to win the West. Ole Miss still has a chance to win the West. I think it's LSU. Who do you think is winning the West? And then does that winner have a chance to beat Georgia in the SEC championship?
Well, I'm going to say Alabama just because I don't want to get murdered next time I go down to Tuscaloosa. But, yeah, I mean, it's funny how a lot of those fans are, like, dancing on my grave when they've locked up nothing. And yeah, they may win the West, but I think they'll get killed by Georgia in the SEC championship. And you're right, Carter. I mean, if they lose this weekend, they're not even going to win a division. So they'll have a dynasty over the second place in the West. So I guess that's the standard now in Alabama. But yeah, they have certainly made some strides. I mean, I looked pretty smart early when they lost to Texas, and then just looked god awful against South Florida. But Jalen Milroe has progressed. The defense is great. Special teams, great. But they're still lacking a lot of weapons. I mean, I know Jermaine Burton had a great game against A&M. He's never had a game like that in his life. I don't think he ever will again. None of the running backs are elite. The offensive line is a major, major issue at times. So I still see some flaws in this Alabama team, but if they go from right now and make improvements like they did at the beginning of the season, maybe I'm dead wrong. Maybe they can beat Georgia, but I don't see it. Now, LSU, if they were to win this weekend, I think they can give Georgia a game. I really do, because I said it already. I don't think Georgia is I know they just waxed Florida, so everybody's back saying, oh, Georgia's number one. Florida's not any good. And I think in a shootout, I think LSU can beat anybody. Now, their defense is so awful. They can lose to everybody, any good team I'm talking about here. They can lose to a lot of good teams as well. But I think they have a puncher's chance. I still would favor Georgia probably by a touchdown, maybe a little bit more over LSU. And over Alabama, I'd favor them by about two touchdowns, I think.
Yeah, well, Mike, thanks so much for joining us. I know it should be got a couple great weekends of college football coming up, especially within the SEC as division title races start to heat up a little bit in both the SEC West and the SEC East. Have a great weekend. Thanks so much for jumping on with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Good time, guys.
It's the NFL offseason, but on Pick 6, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, the football season never stops. Hosts Will Brinson, John Breach, and Tyler Sullivan are joined by analysts like Brady Quinn, Leslie Deuceable, Katie Mox, and RJ White to keep you in the loop on everything happening around the league. Whether it's free agents signing with new teams, the all-important NFL draft, or schedule release day, Pick 6 has you covered. As the face of the league changes with every team move and player pickup this spring, Pick 6 is a must listen. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and anywhere podcasts are found.